opportunity to welcome those who are visiting in the audience. We're happy that you're here. We hope that you open your Bibles as we study some things together today, and we hope that a great benefit to you. If you have any issues, especially with the topic we're going to discuss this morning and this evening, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it and give you a better clarification if you don't understand the things that I'm going to present. Tonight was usually our answering things out of the question box, but we're not going to do that tonight because I'm going to spend this morning and this evening on a subject that I need to talk about. Yesterday, or Friday, our government made a decision that is contrary to God's will. I want to begin this morning by telling you that I'm going to try to discuss this in a way that the Bible discusses it, and also to present some misunderstandings of those that we oppose about this particular lifestyle. I want to talk this morning about the sin of homosexuality. Now, I know that's a term that is not politically correct, and I understand that, and I know the day is coming when I'm going to be put in jail, or I'm going to be fined, or we're going to be threatened by having our nonprofit status removed because of what we believe and practice and teach about what the Bible says. But what I want to ask people to do is understand, first of all, that this problem is not a new problem. This problem has been around as long as man has been upon this earth. In Genesis chapter 19, and we'll look at that in just a moment, we see the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so it's a problem that goes back as far as the first century, as the beginning of time. And so it's not something that just cropped up overnight, and it's here. It's been around for a long time. It's a problem in our society. There are many advocate groups that have been very instrumental and very good at what they're doing is changing the mind and the will of this nation. The homophobic movement, the gay liberation movement, the New Alliance for Gay Equality, and is accepted by many, many in mainstream denominations. It has become a political issue. But I want to suggest to you this morning that this is not a political issue. This is a moral issue. It's an issue that God has clearly defined and stipulated in His Word. I also want you to know that it is also a problem in the Lord's Church. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but in the Lord's Church there are 29 states that have homosexual churches of Christ. And so this is not just a problem for the world. Same as other sins, and some would argue acceptance even among the people of God. I have been personally touched by this subject because in the church that I left before I came here, we had a young man who professed and came out that he was a practicing homosexual. He was a member of the church there where I preached. But more than that, he was the son of one of my dearest friends on earth that is no longer here, but he is a gospel preacher and was his youngest son. And so when that happened, I did everything I could to read up on this subject. I have read more books, I've examined more arguments, and I have tried to look at both sides of this issue. And I have tried to be fair in my assessment. But there are just some things that I cannot get around. There are just some things in the Bible that's taught that I just can't mesh with the understanding of many of our country and also in that community. And so this is not at all a new problem. On June 26, 2015, our Supreme Court, by a vote of 5-4, determined that all 50 states had to recognize and allow same-sex marriages. That includes our state, which was one of the states that did not allow them, and that includes Ohio, a state that I just left, but now they are being told by the Supreme Court that they must accept that gay couples and gay women can now marry and apply and be married by all 50 states. This day will go down in history as not a great day, as many of people in our country think, it's going to go down as a date of infamy. There's another date that should be very familiar in your mind. January 22nd, 1973, when Roe versus Wade was determined that abortion was now an optional route for those who wanted to give, discard a human life. Not described by a human life by the Supreme Court, but by a fetus. And since that day, we have aborted in this country over 1 billion children. You think the blood flowed through the cities of Jerusalem at the destruction of Jerusalem? We got blood all over our hands as a nation. You know what? That Supreme Court rendering did not change one iota what the Bible teaches about abortion and what the Bible calls it and our opposition to it. And this Supreme Court decision on Friday does not change one iota what I believe, what I'll preach, what I'll practice, and what I'll stand upon, because there is a higher court than the Supreme Court. God Almighty determines the morality of what's right and wrong on that subject. Not the court, not any court, not any group of men. And so what the Supreme Court did on Friday doesn't really change what I'm going to do, what I'm going to believe, and what I'm going to teach others to do. But I also want you to know that there was something that was also said in rendering this verdict that maybe you're not aware of. This was part of the writing that was done in the last part of giving this verdict. Here's what the justices said. Finally, it must be emphasized that religions, that those who adhere to religious doctrines, may continue to advocate with utmost sincere conviction that by divine precept, same-sex marriages should not be condoned. The First Amendment ensures that religious organizations and persons are given proper protection as they seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and so central to their lives and faith. Excuse me. And to their own deep aspiration to continue the family structure as they have long been revered. End of quote. I would agree with what that says, except one thing. That same-sex marriages should not be condoned, not because we don't think they should be condoned, but because God Almighty says that they should not be condoned. And what we need to understand, and what we need to have, is I've had many discussions with homosexual couples and lesbians. And I've had many discussions with them. And one of the first things I want them to understand is I do not hate them. This is not about a hate crime. I do not hate them. I hate the lifestyle. I hate the sin. I hate the thing that separates them from God. I hate the thing that will cost them their soul for all eternity. You know, I can tell you personally that some of the homosexuals that I've known and I've talked to, some of the nicest people you will ever meet. They are very conciliatory. They're very humble. They're the core is very, very good. I have no problem with that. My problem is not with them individually. My problem is with their lifestyle and whether or not it's acceptable to God. And so we must understand that this is a decision that is contrary to God's will. By the way, I want you to look at my next chart for a minute. In the Supreme Court, in the decision in Texas a few years back, about 12 years ago, it struck down the anti-sodomy law in Texas in a Supreme Court case with Lawrence versus Texas. And here's what they determined. They said the state cannot demean their existence or control their destiny by making their private sexual conduct a crime. It may not be a crime against society, but it definitely is a crime against God. And it's a perversion because the Bible says that it is. And what about homosexual marriages? Well, now we know about that. Now we know where that led. Now we've authorized that. What about incest? What about the man who makes the argument now that his sexual orientation is to have sex with his son or his daughter, and that's what he desires, then why can't he practice it? If the homosexual can practice it, if the adulterer can practice it, why can't he practice it? And you think I'm far-fetched, wait and see. This morning, I read on the internet that there's a pedophile in Oregon that now is demanding his rights. That he has the right to practice his sexual orientation just on the same regards as a homosexual has. Brethren, the argument's a fair argument. The argument's a fair argument. If you're going to accept one sexual orientation, then you're going to have to accept them all. So what do you think about that? I'm telling you, this is where we're headed. Polygamy? Why do you only have to have one wife? I know anybody can handle more than one, but maybe people there are that can. Well, I mean, let me not be unfair to the woman. I don't know how you can handle more than one husband. We're one's enough. But you know what? Why not polygamy? Why not polygamy? Why not prostitution? We'll make it legal. They tried to do that when I was in Las Vegas time and time again. And you know why they wouldn't do it in Las Vegas? It ruined our image. What's the difference? Does your image make? Brethren, if one sexual behavior is right, they're all right. There was a day when what we did behind closed doors, we kept behind closed doors. Those days are gone. Now, we brag. We're brazen. We brag and we want people to know. And what bothers me about this subject is that their voice, they can say whatever they want to. They can delay it out any way that they want to, but if I say anything contrary to that, that makes me a homophobic, that makes me a warmonger, that makes me a hater of gay people, and I'm a gay basher when I don't agree with the lifestyle, and that's a double standard. And that will not work. We oppose the lifestyle. We oppose the lifestyle. I'm not opposing the doctor who takes the life of the aborted child. I'm opposing the procedure that allows it to happen because it's against God's will and it's murder. I don't care what you call it, it's murder. Now, I don't care what you call it, gay, alternate lifestyle, sexual orientation, I don't care what label you put on it, God's label is it's sin. And that's the label that I'm going to stick with. Now, homosexuality has become an increasing prevalent part of our modern society. It has infiltrated our schools, our news media, our entertainment media, and is attempting to redefine the concept of marriage. Brethren, it's happened. It's not happening, it's happened. It's in every facet of our life. We are bombarded daily. And we're going to talk about that tonight when we talk about the homosexual agenda. The homosexuals have an agenda. And their agenda is not just to be able to practice what they want. They want to destroy what we believe is right and honorable. They have an agenda, brethren. And their brethren is that their voice is going to be heard, and they want our voice stilled. That is their agenda. And I'm going to show you by their own writing tonight that that's their agenda. However, homosexuality by its very nature is even a danger to those who practice it. Where does 90% of the cases of AIDS come from? Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Google it. Get on your internet. 90% of homosexual activity that results in AIDS. 90%! We're spending billions of dollars in order to find the cure to AIDS. I know one sure way not to prevent it. I know one sure way to prevent it. Don't practice the ungodly behavior because then it cannot happen. Brethren, we need to look and we need to be honest with each other. And we're going to look at the Bible even warned about this. It warned about the outcome of those who practice this particular. I don't know how many of you saw it last night. The picture of our White House. In rainbow color. But do you know, in 2008, when he was campaigning for president, Our president stood on a podium in front of Washington, D.C. and said that marriage is defined by God as one man, one woman, and that is the marriage that God anticipated, and that's what I believe, and that's what I practice. Well, something happened from 2008 to 2015 because President Obama has changed his mind about that. On Friday, he said, "This is a great and glorious day." What changed, President? What changed, President Obama, from 2008 to 2015? I'll tell you what changed. The political climate is what changed. The political climate and the desires of the people. And by the way, brethren, I'm going to show you, it's not the masses. We're not talking about the masses that want this change. We're going to see that it's less than 2% of our population. And they changed the law for 2% of our population. You let that sink in. Society is doing homosexual a disservice when it endorses and promotes homosexuality because it begins to permeate in society. It encourages people to engage in simple and self-destructive behavior and gives the blessing of the government to do it. Homosexuality is an issue of morality, but it also is a fundamental issue of public health. Now, in any subject that you talk about, let's see what the Bible says about it. For the next few slides, we're just going to look and see what the Bible, from beginning to end, says about this subject. Let's begin in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, in the creation of the world, and the creation of mankind, the Bible says, in Genesis 2:22, "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The institution of marriage that was designed by God for the betterment of society, for the betterment of man and woman, was designed in the beginning, and it was one man, one woman, for life. That's God's definition of marriage, and it has never changed, nor will it ever change. I got a question for the homosexual. I asked everyone that I talked to, how are you going to procreate your race? Everything produces after its own kind. Not a homosexual. Not a lesbian. One man, one woman, one flesh. That was the Creator's design, and the Creator called it marriage. And that's the biblical definition of marriage. Now, if it's changed, since then, I missed the change. Because that's all I know that the Bible says about it. Next, Leviticus 18:22. "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Look up that word abomination in the Hebrew. You know what that means? It means something that makes the person revolt. Repulsive. That's what abomination means. It means it's repulsive. When a man lies with a male as with a woman, God says it's repulsive. Leviticus 23:13. "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Now, you know, every homosexual alive ought to be glad that we don't live under the Old Testament. We wouldn't be having this discussion. We wouldn't be having this debate. Now, do you know? I don't know if you knew this, but in the Middle East, if a man is caught or a woman performing and engaged in sexual activity, they are killed immediately in the open square. I can show you, I watched a video not long ago where two men were taken the act of committing homosexuality, and they were both thrown off a building in broad daylight because it's a sin against the Quran. And we think we're barbaric. Genesis 19. I want you to open your Bible, Genesis 19. I want to destroy a myth that the homosexual community tries to make about this passage. In Genesis chapter 19. It begins with, now, before they lay down, and this is when the two strangers came into the house of Lot. And they were in Sodom. And it says, before they laid down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. Now, the word men there is in the male gender. If you look at them, now sometimes the word man means male and female, but it doesn't in this passage. It means men. There's a different gender used. It says, the men, all the people, young and old, they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came before you tonight? Okay, now look. They want the men. They didn't ask for anyone else. They asked for the men. Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. What's that mean? You know what those who oppose this passage say? Well, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, they weren't hospitable. No, brethren, that's not the argument. It's not that they weren't hospitable. You know why they were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because their sin was so grievous that it had come up before God, and God determined to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the plains over a lack of hospitality. I don't think so. To know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind them, and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. What's wickedly? Lack of hospitality? The wickedness is the knowing them carnally. Now, see, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Now, you got any misunderstanding what that means? They didn't know a man. They were virgins. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason why they have come under the shadow of my roof. Now, I'm not even going to get into the discussion of a man offering his daughters. I have no understanding about that. I've had three, and there ain't no way I would do that. And I'm not even going to get into that. But he didn't want these men harmed because he knew that these men were from God. And he didn't want this great sin to be perpetrated because he knew it would not just hurt him. He knew it would hurt the city if they violated the messenger of God. And so he went to the ship to even offer their daughters. Now, if these men were not interested in other men, what would they have done? What would they have done with Lot's proposition? Let's see what they did. And they said, stand back. They said, this one came in to stay here and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we'll deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. They didn't want the woman, they wanted the man. What sin is that? What is a sin? Homosexuality is what the sin is. Now, what did God do? He said, Lot, you get out of here. And you leave here and you take your family and anybody that comes with you. And don't you look back. And the angel said, you get a great haste. And he went to the mountains and fire rained from God and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains were burned and destroyed with fire and brimstone. Let me ask you a question. Did God make his understanding known of what he thought about this sin? Do you have any misunderstanding what God feels about the sin of homosexuality? He destroyed these cities and burnt them to the ground to never be rebuilt again. The word Sodom, where does it come from? I don't think God could have made it any clearer, could he? Jude, verse 7 and 8. And Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these having given themselves over to sexual immorality. Now here's an inspired writer saying that the sin in Sodom and Gomorrah was sexual immorality, not being a bad hospitable, and gone after strange flesh. What does that mean? Strange flesh. Men that go after men, that's strange flesh. Women that are with women, that's strange flesh. Why? Because it's unnatural. And set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers who defile the flesh, reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Defile the flesh. Strange flesh. Again, I don't think you need me to explain what that means. But if you want a clear passage that cannot be misunderstood, look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, in this context, this part of Romans is addressed to the Gentiles who did not have a covenant relationship with God, that did not know God. Now listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. For this reason, all right, for what reason? Go back to Romans 1 for a minute. We need to know what reason God is about to say what he's going to say. He says, for this reason, look at verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. What did they do? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. What lie did they exchange the truth for? Gave them up to vile passions. For even them women exchanged the natural use for which that is against nature. Likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Look at the language. Against nature, leaving the natural use. Men with men, shameful. God says it is an abomination. It's unnatural. Look at that last part. The penalty of error which was due them. What penalty of error? What penalty comes to a person who practices such a lifestyle? Does it come with no risk? Well, yes, it comes with penalty of the error due them. Look at the next two verses. And even that they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. Notice, a debased mind, doing things that are not fitting. Sexual immorality. And then he concludes, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, bolsters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and those who practice such things, are deserving of death, not only those that do the same, but also approve of those who practice these things. That's talking about our Supreme Court. You get that? You hear that last part? Deserving of death, those that approve, those who practice the same. Brethren, there's a price to be paid to thumb your nose at God. And this nation better wake up. We got enough blood on our hands already. We don't need another crop, but we just created it. And you know what? You would do well to go and read history about the fall of Rome. And you know, everything that Rome did to fall, we're doing them in spades. And the first two things that they did that caused their downfall, number one, was the devalue of human life. Well, we got that covered. Second was perversion of sexual morality. Now we got that covered. We're well on our way, folks. You cannot. This issue, I shudder for my children and my grandchildren. If this keeps going the way it's going. I don't think God could have made it any plainer. He said a debased mind. He said against nature. He called it not fitting. He called it debased mind. He called it unnatural. That's what God said about us. Now, has God changed his mind about that? Listen to this passage very carefully. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, you think this is a political issue? You think this has political ramifications? Listen. The unrighteous can't inherit the kingdom of God. Well, who are the unrighteous? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Might not, should not, will not. You cannot get into heaven by being a practicing homosexual. God says you can't get in. But you know what? I've been listening to TV, and I've been listening to all these people being interviewed and saying, you know, God loves us. You know, God does love you. But he doesn't love what you're doing. Because God called it sin. And God said, if you practice it, you can't get into heaven. I don't know how many of you remember the movie Philadelphia. Tom Hanks won an Oscar. Now, I like Tom Hanks, but I was really disappointed, Mr. Hanks, when he took his Oscar at the Oscar ceremony that year, because he portrayed a homosexual who was a lawyer. And a lawyer tried to kick him out because he was a homosexual. And he fought him and he beat him. But he was dying of AIDS. And he never lived long enough to see the case concluded. But when he accepted, and he did do a wonderful job in the role, but when he accepted the Oscar, Mr. Hanks said, you know, I think there's enough angels in heaven already. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, Mr. Hanks. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. I was discussing this passage with a homosexual a number of years ago. He said, see, Keith, the Bible says that I can be right with God because I was washed and I was justified. That's right. But you can't stay in the sin. You can't continue practicing the sin because then it won't work. Because one of the things you have to do to come to God, you've got to repent. What does repent mean? It means to change your mind. What results from that? A change of conduct. If I'm an alcoholic, can God save me? Sure he can save me. I've seen him save alcoholics. But you know what? They had to put... They couldn't continue going to the drug. The drug addict. Can he be forgiven? Sure he can, but he's got to quit putting the drug in his veins or it's blowing it up his nose or smoking it. You can't continue to do that. And if he's a thief, he can't continue to steal. And if he's living in adultery, he can't continue to live in adultery. And if he's a practicing homosexual, he's got to get out of the lifestyle. Well, then the blood of Christ will not help him. I've had homosexuals tell me, you just don't understand. We can't. Well, yes, you can. You've got to want to. You know what? Well, tonight we'll talk about the cause. Well, I just want to put this in here right now. I quit arguing a long time ago that homosexual men or lesbian women don't have desires for the same sex. They may have. Now, how they got it, that could be, that's a whole bucket of worms. And I've read book after book, and I haven't found any agreement by all the so-called experts that I've read after that have any agreement how they have that desire. There's a lot of factors in that. But I'll tell you what this factor is. They have to overcome and reject the desire. Now, I'm heterosexual. I'm married to Rita. Can I have a desire for another woman? Can I just act on that desire because I have it? No. I have to rebut that. I have to reject that. Why? Because I've got to be faithful to Rita. I've got to be faithful to God. I've got to reject that. And so even if I have that desire, I have to say no to it. And if the homosexual has that desire, he's got to say no to it. Because it's sinful. I don't begin to explain why he has it. I just know that 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there's no temptation taken to man that is not common to him, but with every temptation God will make a means that he will be able to overcome it and escape it, because he will provide him a means of escape. But you've got to take the route to get out of the sin. So brethren, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's all the passages. Some of them we read, some of them we didn't. Look at the end of all these verses. Look at what it says. God destroyed Sodom, abomination, death, perversion, associated with idolatry, perverted, banished, wicked, outraged and vile, against nature, can't go against heaven, lies against the truth. Brethren, God can't make it any plainer. It's sinful, it's wrong, and it will cost a person his soul if he doesn't get out of it. It is a sin. Now, what does it mean to be a homosexual? Homo means the same. It means to be the same sexually. And so what it means, one who has sexual relations with one of the same sex, being man or woman. That's what a homosexual is. Homosexual man or lesbian woman. Now there are other terms that are used. Besides homosexual, you have gay. You know, when I was young, that was a good word. You know, somebody talked about somebody being gay, that was good. Somebody said that about me tonight. Today, I wouldn't take kindly to it. Sodomite. That's not a compliment. If somebody says that to you, that's not a compliment. Lesbians. These are all various terms used to describe the activity of... Now, I want you to get your mind around this next slide. Now, let me ask you a question. How much discussion, teaching, and how much evidence has been presented to the homosexual community and to the drug community, because that's another way you can get AIDS, is by dirty needles. That's another way you can do it. How much information is out there to know that this is a dangerous lifestyle practice? How much information has been flooded in our society about the danger of this perversion as far as AIDS? You think that's changed the behavior and practice of people who participated in sin? Many partners, as many as 500 in their life. Now, you say, well, where'd you get that statistic? Off the lesbian gay site in the internet is where I got that number. Their website. The average homosexual has at least 25 partners in his lifetime. They don't seem to worry about AIDS, do they? Magazines and contacts. You know, there's a gay website. You know, you got You know the lonely ads for the lonely hearts? They got that for gays, too. You go out there and you can hook up and you can chat online with them. There was a good couple in Oregon, man and woman, that I've had dinner in their home, and she was a very, very faithful child of God, very instrumental in the church there in Oregon where she attended, was very active in the church. Her husband and her were both very active in the Lord's work. They moved to Iowa, and Tuesday night, I went to Lexington to their VBS and their meeting and listened to their son preach. I didn't make the connection until he was standing in front of me and told me his name, and then I made the connection that he was the son of this couple that I knew in Oregon. And I was so glad to see him. We started talking. He said, "How's your mom and dad?" And he got a strange look at his face. And he put his head down. He says, "Keith, you don't know?" I said, "No." And I thought he was going to tell me one of them passed away. "No, that's not what you're going to tell me." He said, "My mom and dad are divorced." I said, "Oh, David, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. What happened?" "My mom left my dad." I said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it." He said, "We couldn't believe it either. She left him for another woman." Doesn't happen in the church. How did she meet him? In a chat room. In a chat room on the internet. 36 years of marriage. Gone. Her relationship with God. Gone. Her relationship with her children. Marred for life. The gay community would use her as a champion. Meeting places, malls, restroom, rest areas. Men, don't get your feet outside the stall when you go into a rest area. That's a sign the homosexual use if they're available. Now, you know, I know way too much about this and I'd like to know. But this stuff you can find out if you do some digging. Some think, some are like a cult. Not all of them, but some of them, they act like a cult. They have codes and signals. Be careful. Don't think because somebody just seems not to, you know, that guy just doesn't act like a guy. That's not a telltale sign. So be careful drawing a conclusion by appearance. But they have their codes, they have their signals. Wearing an earring in a certain area is a code for homosexuality. Well, men, they did something about that. Now they wear it in both, so that's not a problem. But that was a code. In earlier times, that was a code of homosexuality. Now, again, I didn't make this stuff up. You go out on their websites and their other things and they will tell you. And so they have their own society. Now, the Bible terms, here they are. Homosexual, we read it in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Sodomites, that's in the same verse. Abusers of themselves with mankind, if you use the King James Version, instead of the New King James, the American Standard, it'll say abusers of themselves. Another word that's used in Deuteronomy is perversion. It's called a perversion. Another Bible term is dog. Turn to Revelation 22 and verse 15. I always struggled with this. I thought, what do dogs have anything to do about, because I know there's no dogs or cats in heaven, I'm sorry to tell you that. But look at verse 15. It says, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Well, I went out and looked up that word dog, and in that meaning, it means a homosexual. That's what that word means. They're on the outside looking in. And so those are Bible terms. Okay, one more slide and we'll call it for this morning. Now, the reason I oppose homosexuality is because it's sinful. It violates God's plan for sexuality. You know what the Bible says? Marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. Adulterers and whoremongers, know that word there? Whoremongers, God will judge. Adulteries are those who practice sexual immorality between men and women. Whoremongers are those who practice sexual immorality between the sexes. God says that they will be judged. Now, does man have sexual desire? Yes, he does. How can he satisfy that sexual desire? In the realm of marriage. Anything that's outside marriage is a perversion and it's sinful. Well, the homosexual understands that. But now he can say, well, I'm doing it now with inside marriage. The only problem is it's not God's definition of marriage. What's God's definition of marriage? Turn to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Now, you remember the question that Jesus was asked on this occasion? You know, he's asked a question that people ask today. Can a man divorce his wife for just any cause? That was a question he asked. Now, he asked, a Jew asked the teacher of the law, what does the law say? Here's what Jesus said. And he answered and said, have you not read, he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? For it said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Understand this. God, I don't care if they can get a license. They can go to a state, and they can get married by some preacher, and they can exchange rings. They can do anything they want to do. But God will never join two men and two women together because it is not marriage. It is a perversion. One man, one woman. God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. One man, one woman, one flesh. Two men and two women do not fit the definition. Fornication. 1 Corinthians 18 says, flee fornication. Sexual immorality is fornication. It is a sin, it is a perverted form of fornication, but it is nevertheless fornication. It's against nature. We read that in Romans chapter 1. And it's specifically forbidden in 1 Corinthians 6 by saying a man who practices such can inherit the kingdom of God. Now, brethren, if this is so plain, and it is so straightforward, and it cannot be misunderstood, how did we get where we got to from? How did we get here? How did we get from this to what happened in our Supreme Court on Friday? To say that marriage is a right for two men and two women, and it be sanctioned. And President Obama said that God loves all people, even the homosexual. Well, he's right about that. God loves them, there's no doubt about that. But he does not love their perversion and their sin. And let me tell you something. Tonight, we're going to talk about the cause. And we're going to talk about their agenda. Brethren, do not be mistaken. They got an agenda. They got it, and it's in writing. You can read it. And they have begun to put it into practice. And I'll show you that tonight. But I want you to understand something. I don't hate a person who practices this lifestyle. But I oppose what they do with every fiber of my body being godly. And every fiber of my body that I do not want them to be lost for eternity. I want them to repent. And I want them to come home. I want them to return to God. But you know what? The only way The only way that a man or woman will come out of this sin is to acknowledge that it is sinful and unnatural. They will never leave it until they determine that it's wrong. Vegas on the subject of worldliness. I wonder why I preached that in Vegas. I think we can figure it out. But one of the subjects I was covering was homosexuality. There was a young woman, Bob Bailey's age, who was in the office that morning from Texas. And I announced that I was going to be preaching on this the next morning. She came to me and she gave me a card. And she said, "Keith, you need to talk to my dad. I think he can help you with your subject next week." I thought, okay. So on Monday, I called him. And he was very nice. We talked for about 2 hours. And this was a man who was married, had 2 daughters. One of his daughters had been in my audience, in the audience that Sunday. And for years, he had the desire to have a relationship with a man. And he continually fought it all of his adult life. And he thought when he got married that that would take care of that desire and it would wane, but it didn't. But he never acted upon it because he knew that it was wrong. And then one Sunday, he came forward. And he sat up on the front bench. And he asked the brethren to help him because he was afraid he was losing the plot and that he was going to act upon his desire. Let me ask you a question. What would you do with someone that was married among us? Today, he counsels people. He says there's a large segment of the homosexual community that has a desire but has never acted upon it. But he said, "Keith, every homosexual comes up to the line where he has to make a decision whether or not to act on his impulse and his desire. And he's the only one that can make that decision. And there are many people who fight the desire, but they haven't. And he's counseled many of them and helped them. But he says, don't you let anybody ever tell you and get you to believe that it's something you're born with. It's not. It's something they choose." Now, he said there's a lot of factors that cause people to have those desires. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances that can push a person into that direction. But he says there comes a time in that person's life where they make the conscious decision to step over the line and act on the impulse. That's not a born behavior. That is a learned behavior. I had a homosexual ask me one time. He says, "Keith, what are you going to do when they find the gene that makes a man or a woman homosexual by birth, a genetic link?" You know what? I haven't lost a bit of sleep over it because they ain't never going to find it. Because you know why? How could God condemn a person for sin and keep him out of heaven if he was born in something he could not have any control over? I don't serve that kind of God. I don't serve a God that genetically would make it possible that a man would be born a homosexual and then condemn him forever because he is. I don't serve that kind of God. I'm going to show you tonight that homosexuality is a learned behavior. It's not something that you are born with. It's something you choose to do. Please take your song book out and turn to the song that's been selected by Brother Bill. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you don't want to close your service without giving you an opportunity to obey the gospel. You know, we haven't talked much about that this morning, but I want you to know that When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't just go to the cross for you and for me. He went for the whole world. And that means he even died for the homosexual. And he doesn't want him to be lost or her to be lost. But the only way that they can be saved is they have to repent of their sin. They have to confess his name. They have to submit to baptism to combat the blood of Christ. And then they've got to rise to walk in newness of life. And you know what, brethren? You can overcome this sin. I've known a couple who have. It's difficult. It's a difficult road. I understand that. But it can be overcome. But it can never be overcome until it's acknowledged. You can recover from any sin, but you can't until you acknowledge you have the disease. If you have the disease, the Lord has a remedy. If we can help you in any way, then come forward. Let's give it to you.